Would you grab your swords for a moment, please? Oh, glory. John 14. Thank you, my Lord. Oh, you know, something's happening, man. Something's definitely happening. Glory to God. And John 14. Hoo yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. Sure, I could use that, Dad. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Did you ever get to a point where it's like, man, you know, I just can't wait to go home? It's like, man, you know, it's enough of this place. That's why we seek and desire so badly to get in God's presence, because we want to go home. It's like a temporary fix for us, you know? It's a touch, it's a taste, it's refreshing. It's like, oh, there's my home. You know, this is home. You know, you get a drink from the living water and it's like, oh, real food. No more microwave stuff, you know. No more nuked food. You know? But the real McCoy. No more goofy thoughts, you know. Sometimes you just get real tired of those thoughts, don't you? It's like, shut up, will you? Man, don't you ever shut up. You know, especially while you're worshiping. I mean, you get more thoughts in your mind while you worship than any time, you know that? It's like, man, this is ridiculous. You know, on your way here, you don't even have half the thoughts. As soon as you get in God's presence, you start worshiping, it's like you just picked up every thought of the world. Even from your past. And then the devil begins to start giving you, hits you with condemnation and guilt of everybody you stiffed. All of a sudden he reminds you of everything you stole in your life. Everyone you rebuked or cast out. I mean, you know, had a, you know, whatever it is. Everyone you've hurt. You know, and Jesus is saying, hey man, I forgive you. You know, that's amazing. That's the enemy. That's that little varmint that lives in us. It's called self. Never shuts up. Always trying to promote itself. It wants, I'm telling you, it wants control of you. But thank God for the Holy Ghost and for His mercy. Oh, His mercy. Well, let's see where Daddy wants to go tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. Start verse 1 with me, please. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that wonderful? He's not only is he preparing a place for us, but he's preparing us to fit in the place. Hallelujah. And Thomas said to and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Jesus said to him, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how are we going to know the way? I mean, in other words, if you leave, how are we going to know? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. In other words, you must be drawn first. Amen? You must be drawn. And that's what we talked about, being drawn. Remember, he says, the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, I'm having a hard time functioning here right now. Praise God. Oh, Hallelujah. I mean, I was just ozoned here for a second. Kill me, Dad. Praise God. Kill me and take me home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All glory to the Lamb. My wife will intercede and fight for me. She'll raise me from the dead like Smith Wigglesworth raised his wife from the dead. You ain't going nowhere. We are. Come back here. Whew. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that those are the three names of the tabernacle. Amen. In other words, he was saying, I am the tabernacle. I am the living God, the tabernacle. You know, Ezekiel was brought up in the spirit and saw the eternal tabernacle. You can read in Ezekiel chapter 1 and 2. He saw what it was about. And then God came to the earth and set a tabernacle. God came to the earth. How did he come to the earth? Think about it. He came to the earth to set up a tabernacle. A tabernacle. You know what a tabernacle is? A mobile sanctuary. You know what you are? You're the tabernacle. You're mobile sanctuaries. Think about it. Come on, they used to set the tent up and everything. We'll talk a little bit about this. We're getting there. I'm just waiting on clarity. Waiting on some direction. Damn, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. I mean, the Jews were so offended because he was expressing himself as the tabernacle of God. It says, no man come to the Father unless he's drawn. Well, we were drawn yesterday. And today we've entered the outer court. Oh, glory. If this is the outer court, hallelujah. If this is the outer court, glory to the Lamb. Remember, it's a portable sanctuary. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, or the holy of holies. And we have entered into the outer court. That's why we are singing, Lord, have mercy. Oh, praise God. Go to Exodus 24. Let's just get right to it. Wow. Glory to the Lamb. Exodus 24. Yes, guy, it's in the beginning of the book. Somebody help me. Exodus 24. Whew. Is everybody there? I said, is everybody here? Uparoho sotoka. Hoo-wee. Starting at verse 1. I'm going to need you guys to read this with me, please. Now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel and worship from afar. So he says, come on up, but stay far away. And Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning, and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now I want you to understand something. This is powerful because this is actually a representation of the tabernacle being built. Remember the tabernacle that was built, God came to establish a tabernacle on the earth, right? So God came down and he spoke to Moses. God came and spoke to Moses and said, build my tabernacle, a place that I may dwell. He chose a man to build his tabernacle. That's awesome. God himself came down. Come on now. God himself came down to the earth, his glory and all, to dwell with man. Whew. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hopefully we can all comprehend this. Hopefully I can comprehend this. Glory to the God. In verse 5, and then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrifices, peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. Now what did he do? He built a what? An altar. First he said, come on and worship me from afar. Outer court. And when he said, he set up an altar to do what? Sacrifices. Outer court. Somebody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Now understand this. He said, come on and worship me from afar. He was what? Drawing them, wasn't he? Just like you and I were drawn. No man comes to the Father unless he be drawn, right? So he was drawing them. Then the altar was a representation of the outer court. Is everybody with me? You have to bear with me now. Whew. Glory. Then he took the book of the covenant. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back here. Okay. In verse 6. Thank you. And Moses took half the blood and put it in a basin, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all of these words. Is everybody with me? Then Moses went up also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, his armor bearer. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on the Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So check this out now. We just went from the outer courts to the holy place to the most holy place. Remember, where did Moses go? The Lord called Moses up to the mountain, didn't he? Holy place. He saw the cloud. 6 days he hung out. Waited and waited and waited. But he saw the cloud. And he waited. Then all of a sudden the voice came from the cloud and said, come on in, Moses. Let me give you the tablets. Let me give you the law. Does everybody get it? He just went into the Holy of Holies. See, that was the first tabernacle right there. Is everybody with me? Oh, to God be the glory. Verse 17. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went in to the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now again, I'm going to share something with you. In this arena, there's a total different world. In the cloud of glory, there is no space or time. When Moses was there, he spoke to God for about 5 minutes. Actually, God spoke to Moses. When he left the cloud of glory and God sent him down, it was 40 days later. To Moses, it was like, no, I mean, remember, he didn't have no water. He didn't have no food. Couldn't call out for Domino's pizza. Nothing. 40 days with no eating. It didn't say he ran out going, oh my God, I'm hungry. It didn't say he went down in the valley and made himself flesh burgers or anything like that. Right? He was not hungry nor thirsty. He was sustained in the glory of God. And all space and time ceased for Moses for 40 days. He did not age. In fact, he probably got younger. Probably came out of that cloud of glory and could have played football for months. Glory to God. Dad, I need some help. Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9. Let them make me a sanctuary, the Lord said, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that it is in the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So now the Lord commanded Moses to what? Make a tabernacle. Amen? Everybody with me? Now I want you to understand something. Moses is an expression of the high priest. Amen? Because the high priest would go into the most holy place. He was expression of the high priest. The altar, the sacrifice, the mercy. Let me share something with you. In the outer court, I want you to look at the outer court. This is where the altar is. That's where the sacrifice is, right? That's where the sprinkling of the blood is. That's where, first of all, you're invited. You're given the invitation. When you accept the invitation, you're allowed in the outer court. What's the invitation? Accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So here you enter the outer court. What's in the outer court? The altar, sacrifice, mercy, covenant. Is everybody with me? You know what else is in the outer court? The law. Hello? The outer court is where the law is. The outer court is a place of cleansing, a place of surrender, and a place where you accept. Does everybody understand? Not only where you accept, but where you are accepted. Is everybody with me? The outer court. We cry mercy. That's where covenant is manifested. So covenant. You are now a covenant child of the Most High God. You know, when you get it out in the outer court, when somebody gets saved, they don't know anything. You know what I'm saying? They don't even know what the promises of God are most of the time. So they don't even know what the covenant is. But see, God has already predestined the covenant for them. In the outer court. Oh, hallelujah. In the outer court. Again, I want to repeat this. It's where the altar, the sacrifice, mercy, covenant, place of surrender, place of acceptance, place of cleansing, and the laws. Go to Psalm 15. Oh, praise God. Psalm 15. Hallelujah. Psalm 15, is everybody there? Would you read it with me together? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill. Glory to God. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Now, he's talking, that's Moses, isn't it? Amen? Why? Because Moses was allowed to get to the holy hill. Well, that's available for me and you. Go to Romans 7. Glory to God. The outer court. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 7. Is everybody all right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. We haven't gotten there yet, let me tell you. We're getting there, though. Hallelujah! Romans 7:7-7. What should we say then in verse 7? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except for what? Through the law. So the law actually just said that we were sinners. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, sin wasn't exposed without the law. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. You know why? Because your flesh is the outer court. Ooh, your body is a representation of the outer court. Does everybody get it? That's why you always must be crucified. Hello? Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The outer court and the way represents the cross. That's where the altar, the ultimate sacrifice was. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way, actually fulfilled the first feast. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What was the first feast? The feast of Passover. Hello? He fulfilled the first. When Jesus died on the cross, actually in 3 days, he fulfilled all three feasts. Amen? Where'd he go? The second day he went to hell, didn't he? Amen? Well, he went from hell right from the cross, but he fulfilled all three feasts. Passover, first fruits. I mean, Passover, unleavened bread, Feast of Unleavened, and then First Fruits. All is the way, truth, and life. But I'm not here to talk about the feast. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is to be present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Anybody having that problem? Hello. Wow. Verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that the evil is present with me, that the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, especially when I worship, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Oh, hallelujah. Here is, now listen, this is where the sacrifice, through the sacrifice of Christ, you and I are released from the law. Everybody got it? This is outer court. Through the sacrifice of Christ, we are released from the law. Now listen. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, now replaces the law with the covenant and the Spirit. Is everybody with me? Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, in the outer courts, because you cannot go to the Holy of Holies, you can't even enter the holy place without the blood. So now we enter into the outer court where the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, replaces the law. Amen. Replaces the old covenant with a new covenant and the Spirit who promotes the new covenant and causes you to walk in its way. Come on, we're going to go through the scripture here. Glory to God. Go to Exodus 31. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody as drunk as I am? Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. What did I say to go? Exodus 31. Help me, Dad. Quicken me, Holy Ghost, please. Exodus 31. Okay, yes, front of the book. Praise your holy name. In verse 18. Hallelujah. Whew. Okay, now Moses is getting ready to come down from the mountain, hanging out with Daddy for a while, living it up. Verse 18, and when the Lord had got done speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, and he gave Moses two tablets of the Testament, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Now go to 32 and verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. See, Moses was partying with the Lord, and everybody else was partying with the devil. And they turned aside quickly. And they turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. I would say my daddy was a little upset. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people and did it. Indeed, it is stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I will consume them. Now, you know, here's the Lord telling Moses, leave me alone. I'm going to kill them. I'm cooking them. We're going to have hot Israel tonight. And Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he has brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Oh, hallelujah. Now, here was a man of a pure heart, Moses. You know, come on, man. You know, there's many who would just say, kill him. Go ahead, I'm on your side. Me and you all the way. Hallelujah. Go ahead, kill him. I won't interfere. You want a match? You want me to round them all up? Didn't Jonah do the same thing? Amen. Round them up. I'm stepping out of this. I'm watching them die. Okay, I went and preached to McCoy, Dad. I killed them. Right? Think about that. Hi, did you ever see the Veggie Tales, Jonah? Oh, it's great. I encourage you to get it. That's great. All right. Go to verse 19. 32:19. So it was, as soon as he came near to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Moses threw the law at them, and it busted. You know what? He had to. Everything God does is prophetic. The first law had to be broke so that the second covenant could come. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Has everybody got it? See, Moses came down and busted the first one so the second one could come. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, where are we? Thank you, Papa. Okay. Then he took, in verse 20, then he took a calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. He made them drink the ashes. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. And as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't even know if he's coming back. We don't know where he's come from. We don't know anything about him. He's gone for 40 days. We can't wait for him to come back, even though we saw the sea split, fire come down, the plagues. We left Egypt with a load of cash and everybody was healthy. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Fed us with manna from heaven. Never had to go to the shoe store. They grew with them. Hello? Oh, yeah. Well, we forgot. Oh, hallelujah. So Daddy was upset. Amen. Oh, praise God. Now, and I said to them, okay, whoever has gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Yeah, like it just came out. Poof! They molded this thing, man. Aaron became a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. Yeah, we just threw the gold in the fire, and look, it's a calf. Must be God. Worship it. Hallelujah. And then I said to them, number 25. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Wow. Check that out now. He said, okay, who's on the Lord's side? Come on. They were the sons of Levi. They were the ones that were going to take care of the tabernacle. Amen. It's okay, load up. Sharpen your swords. Anyone who does not come on the Lord's side, go out and kill them. And that's exactly what happened. 3,000 fell. Isn't it amazing that on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved? Hallelujah. He's the Redeemer. Psalm 34. Chapter 34. And the Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke." Here comes Second Covenant. "So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before the mountain." So he cut the two tablets of stone like the first ones, and Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets. Now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshipped. Then he said, "If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord my God, I pray go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." This is outer court. All this is outer court. Is that powerful or what? Go to Romans 8. Now the new covenant came, didn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Now, if Moses would have not thrown those, we wouldn't have had another covenant. Because the Bible says that all the things of the Old Testament are a shadow of things to come. In Romans chapter 8. Oh, hallelujah. First four verses, would you read it with me? Come on, is everybody there? "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the outer court," I mean the flesh, "but according to the Spirit." You know, let me tell you something about the outer court. There are those who are coming in and those who are going out. Let me share something with you before we go any further. When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that is the Holy of Holies. That's come to you. where you now become the tabernacle. That's called born again. Born again is a state of being where you're walking in the Spirit. Many people will slip from the Holy of Holies to the holy place to the outer court. Some will slide right out and lose salvation and give it up. That's why I said in the outer court, there are those that are going in and those that are coming out. Some people pass right by you, give up their salvation, and go right back into the world. Is everybody with me? I see it happen all the time. They go right back into the world. The outer court is also a representation of your outer body. Your soul is a representation of the holy place, and your spirit is a representation of the holy holies, because only in the most holy place is it spirit to spirit. Glory to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The exchange, the super sacrifice of Christ has removed the law from me and you and replaced it with a new covenant in the Spirit. For what the law could not do in it, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now listen, if you're walking in the flesh, you're under the law. The world is under the law. They will be judged by the law when they get before God. And the Bible says if you broke the least of these, you've broken them all. Has everybody got it? The world will be judged according to the law. Ooh. So when you and I are in the flesh, we become under the law. Does everybody see it? Why? Because when you're being led by the Spirit, you're not under condemnation, are you? Even though the devil's trying to hit you with it and all those goofy thoughts. But then all of a sudden you hear the Holy Ghost say, there's no condemnation in Christ. Oh yeah. Get off, devil. You're a liar. Amen? See, the Holy Spirit quickens you to the new covenant. He's the maintainer and the keeper of the covenant. See, the exchange was made from the law to the new covenant, and the keeper of the covenant is the Holy Ghost. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go. Where are we going? Okay. Go to Galatians 3. Hallelujah. The law replaced with the Holy Ghost and the new covenant. Galatians 3. Whoa. I'm glad you're driving, hon. Galatians 3:19. Glory to the Lamb. Is everybody there? Can we read this together? What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had not been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our what? Tutor. To bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. See, the law is a tutor. And the Holy Spirit is the mentor. Does everybody got it? The law is the tutor. The Holy Spirit is the mentor. Because it's person. Person. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. So the purpose of the law, right? What was the purpose of the law, Dad? It was a tutor. It was to bring us to Jesus. Go to Exodus 18. Glory to God. Is that Exodus? No, that's Ezekiel. I hope that's Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18. Oh. She just got hot in here. Ezekiel. Anybody got a page number? Ezekiel 18. I don't know what's going on, man. Ezekiel 18, 29. Glory. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. Is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn from all your transgressions so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a what? A new heart, a new spirit, and a new Harley. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. I can't even go back to that one, man. I need to stand up here. Therefore, I will judge you all, house of Israel. Repent and turn from all your ways and your transgressions and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why should you die? Now, you know we're supposed to repent. Turn and repent. Repentance is granted in the outer courts. Glory. Repentance is granted in the outer courts. Thank God. We can all repent tonight. Ezekiel 36. Let's try this one. Did everybody get that last one? Ezekiel 36. It's in the same book, a few pages over. Glory. Oh, just lift your hands to heaven and ask to get drink. I mean, get a drink. Lord, thank you, fill us overflowing. Fill us more, Daddy. Fill us more, Daddy. Fill us more. Fill us more, Lord. Fill us more, Papa. Oh, glory to the Lamb. Ezekiel 36. Oh, 24. Verse 24. Would you all read this with me, if you dare? For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own house. I mean, into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Does everybody see that? In verse 26. And I will give you a what? New heart? Here we go. And a new spirit. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Whew. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Now this is powerful. The promise of a new heart, a spirit, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now he's reinstating your covenant of promise, your inheritance. Has everybody got it? This is all in the outer courts, man. Oh, wow. The outer court is a place where a person enters the beginning of their predestined purpose and journey. Can you think about that for a second? The outer court is a place where a person enters the beginning of their predestined purpose and journey. Glory to God. The outer place. I mean, the outer court. Sounds like the outer limits in a minute here. Hallelujah. I mean, we've just entered the some zone, I don't know. So, you can see Ezekiel prophesied about this getting a new heart. That was a fulfillment. He's prophesying about he prophesied about the tabernacle of God. And that you would now be the tabernacle of God. Hallelujah. Jesus paid a tremendous price for us, you know. Thank God for the price, or we wouldn't be laughing here tonight. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the joy. The Bible says, enter his gates with a shout and the joy of praise. Hallelujah! Yes! Thank you for the joy, Lord. Thank you for the joy. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Whew. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. I think we might need to continue this tomorrow night. Stop the tape and put the music on.